teaching rain. Oh Lord Jesus, give us more rain until we're soaked and we come into another rain. Until we're soaked and we come into another rain. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this early rain. Thank you for that, for this teaching rain, Lord, as we gather ourselves right now before you, Lord. To thank you, Father, for the grace that you have given us, opening our eyes, Father, for the message, so Lord, that you have given to us through the prophet, Lord, to bring us back into your word. And truly, Lord, in your word, in your treasure, while we are in it and in the cooper with you, Lord, we ask that you continue, O Father, to pour forth your word upon us, teaching us, O Father, and preparing us, Lord, and getting us ready, Lord, for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we look for the bridegroom's return, let our heart, O Lord, and our spirit be filled with joy. In times like this, we thank you, Father, for your promised word, for your comfort, for your comforter, Lord, that always abide with us, walk with us, talk with us, and teaching us, Lord. So, Father, we come in this time now into your hand that you bless us, Lord, as we look into that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. The title of the message today is, I don't know how so much I can finish it. It's all the all-sufficiency of the sacred scripture. And I also want to emphasize this because we're living in a time where, you know, the Bible said about the trusting fall of our Lord. Our Lord is still touching the floor to get rid of the husk, to get rid of the chaff, and all any unwanted, you know, things that do not belong to the pool of grains. They'd be collected in for use. So he's still, our Lord Jesus Christ is still, you know, cleaning up what should not be in his vineyard. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now this is the only place in the Bible that you see only one scripture and only one word that is used only one time. Now, many times when we talk about doctrine, we will ask that at least at the mouth of two verses or three, let the matter then be established. But here we only have one. All right? And as all scripture is given by inspiration, that word that I want to point out is the word inspiration. Now, we all know the word inspiration is not a good word translated, actually. And I believe that some version would use the right word and say all scripture is given, or all scripture is in breath of God. This is one thing, one word, the one and only word. And I want to say this because we are living in this time, because we have a message that God give to us, a message, not many messages, and as many people are saying. Alright? There's only one message, and a message that points us back to the Word. Now, I want you to see this image. This is something which every one of you know. I have put it in the on my website, and recently I posted on my Facebook. And so for you, those who have not seen this post on my website, alright, let me just read it and for what you see on the screen. I hope it's not too small for you to see, unless you can enlarge it. All right?
Okay.
Is that a difference between the message of William Branham and the Bible? That's my question. And then I put out this article. A great number of Branhamites proclaim that they are the same thing. They said that the message is the Bible and the Bible is the message. This is foolishness. Oh, how blind and deceived are these Branhamites. Of course there is a difference between the message and the Bible. The message points to the Bible. The message points us back to the original apostolic father's faith. The Bible does not point to the message. It only verifies that the message is true. For example, you drive down a highway and come to a junction where you see a signpost with a message pointing in a certain direction to New York City, 70 miles. You obey the sign and follow the direction the message provides. An hour later, you reach New York City. Now, in New York City, would there be a sign that actually points you back to that road sign at that junction on that highway? Of course not. Why? Simply because a sign, a message, always points to an important thing, place, etc., not vice versa. Also, a sign does not point to itself. You can park your car at that road junction, stare at that sign, point to it, and say to yourself, "All right, that's New York City." And if you do not follow the instruction on that sign, but admire that sign the whole day, even into weeks, months, or until you die, you will still not be in New York City. Because the sign, message, is not New York City. It only points to it, New York City. Then again, when you follow the instruction of the sign and finally reach New York City, do you still need that sign? Do you have to drive back to that road junction ever so often just to make sure that you are in New York City? Only a fool does that. Now, this was written a few years after I came back from Zimbabwe. I think it was probably the first time I was in Zimbabwe, if I'm not sure, I'm not quite certain, I might be, when Brother James Verumo and a few brothers drove me off to another town to have meetings there. And then on the way back, it was late at night, about midnight time we drove, because it was not a city, it was a town. We came out of this town, then we drove to some little kind of village area, and there was no street, like nothing. Now as you drove all the way back, then we came to a junction, and that's what inspired me to write this. When we came to the junction, and then the brother stopped at the junction, even though on late night, of course, stopped at the junction. In front of us there was a sign right there, pointing the direction on the left and one on the right. And then the brother was about to engage a gear and drop off. He said, "No, brother, stop right here." And he stopped right there. He said, "What about Brother Grant?" I said, "I want you to look at that sign. You look at that sign. What does the sign say?" And he pointed to the place, I think, towards Harare, the direction we're supposed to be going. And the other one, I'm not quite sure. I said, "Look at that sign. What does it tell you?" And brother said, "Oh, it tells the place where we're going to go." I said, "Right. Let's look at this sign and let's have this sign representing the message of Brother Branham. Right. If you look at that sign and the prophet's message is to point you to a certain direction, to come out of the denomination, come out of denomination darkness, and go and meet the bridegroom. Right. So, what would we do? Do we want to stay here on this junction of the road and admire this sign? We can admire this sign the whole night until morning. We still not be getting back where we are going. You know, Brother James Wilman, back sitting down and saying, now I got it, Brother Gann. Now I understand. Then the other brother said, yeah, we understand right now what you're trying to tell us. We can stand here looking at the sign, admire the sign, the message. You know, and we're not going anywhere. When the message is not pointing you, to give you a certain instruction, to point you to something, where you wanted to go, where you should go. But you know what? That is very true. But we still have a lot of people putting back and going back to Brother Abraham, keep on quoting Brother Abraham, and you know, listening to Brother Abraham. Saying there's nothing wrong with listening to Brother Abraham's tape. On your own time, you don't listen to anybody's tape, any message, but no problem. But when we gather together in the church to minister, to have the fellowship, we are supposed to come into the Word of God to what the Bible, Paul said, these scriptures, as Brother Abraham said, back to the apostolic world, back to the absolute. We're supposed to come back to it so that we can be grounded in the Word, as Paul said in Ephesians, why Christ went up, ascended to heaven, He gave gifts unto men, and the fivefold nature were given for the purpose of edifying, for the work in ministry, and so on, until we come to the place of maturity, perfection. No more thoughts to inflow, knowing what we believe. Because why? The mind of the bride of Christ must be the same mind with Christ. Not wishy-washy. If you remember when I talked about when Eliezer went up back, you know, as Abraham told him, he said, I don't want to get any of this woman here in Canaan land from Isaac my son. I want you to go back to our homeland, get a wife from there. You know, and Eliezer went with the camel train and there, with all the jewelry, whatever, you know, go like there to his hometown, pick a bride for Isaac, and it was Rebecca, as you know that. And Rebecca sat on the camel train, and they were on the way home. Yes, on the way home. You know, to meet who? To meet Isaac. And the moment Rebecca saw Isaac, he asked Eliezer, who is that man in the field? He said, that's your master. That's the one you're supposed to marry. The one that I've been telling you about. You know? And immediately the Bible said that Rebecca literally almost fell off the camel in her haste. Put on the veil, jump off the camel. Where? To meet Isaac. And what does the Bible tell you next? If you do not know, go read the book of Genesis. Isaac threw her into the mother Sarah's tent, and they were married there. This is an expression. They became husband and wife in the kupa. And what is Eliezer? What is Eliezer? Eliezer, do you think Eliezer went into the tent too? No, Eliezer took the camel and went to the camel stable. And that's the annual hood we read about Eliezer. And when Abraham gave us the message that brought us to Christ, we get off the camel train and get into the wood. Right? Sure. At time, if you want to listen to anybody's message, Abraham's message, you want to listen to your own time, fine. But when we come together, we're supposed to be grounded in this wood. We're not supposed to ground in Brother Abraham's messages. And if you want to say that, the Brahma will say that to me many times. Then I said, you can throw away the Bible. Because you don't need it after all, because he said that if the message of Brahma and ground and make you perfect, then you don't need the sacred scripture. Then Paul's a liar. For years, since of the when I came to the message, 2 years later I had left Brahmanism spirit. Because God showed me. God literally showed it to me. Do you want to take the prophet's word or my word? Because his prophet, God's prophet, make mistakes too. And I know Brahma doesn't like me to say that. And what did I get all these years, you know, when we talk about all scripture being sufficient. We're supposed to be in a message. We're supposed to know that to be true. But in denomination, it's a different thing altogether. But let us just look at this response from somebody on Facebook. This is a post on Facebook. It is for people to think. But here, people need commands, of course. And here, there was this command that came in by this person. See what he said. He's from Africa, of course. I don't know which part of Africa. Bonifaci. Nijiru. To Richard Gunn. That's what you found on Facebook. Your comparison of the Bible and message with the road sign to New York is really total foolishness. Really. To him, you see, he's a brand of mine. And he will say this. Alright. It just shows how ignorant you are about the message of the hour. I'm very ignorant. Indeed I am. Alright? Okay. The message reveals the Bible. Without the message, you might as well go on preaching three gods. Really? That means that you busy are preaching three gods? You see, this person, as I said, many preachers are not preachers. Now, he might claim to me, but to me, by the way he wrote like this, it showed me that there is no wisdom, no common sense. And today we have the same people, we have the same kind of people in Singapore. And you need to be sure who you are listening to. Oh, Brother God, you are so proud, you talk about it as if you are the only one. No, I'm not the only one. But I'm saying that there are those that are not. So please, do not twist my word. All the years I've been preaching, people who don't like what I said, they've been twisting my word and force feed all things, you know, into what I said. Huh? Alright. And even as what the Bible shows us, Paul do not like the way that Peter was going about his doing his praying, his hypocrisy, that he had to rebuke him in public. So I would do the same. If anyone were to twist what I said openly anywhere, if he called me a false prophet, an idiot, or a fool, or a liar, no problem. But if he take my words and he twist it, then I will expose him. Now a lot of people say, oh, let it go, Brother Dan. No, you don't let it go. You see in the Bible, what Paul said, what did Paul go upset about people like Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander? You tell me. Why? Why do you get upset about this? And he called them and said, these are the ones that have damned the people, you know, the soul of many and deceived many. Huh? You think about it. When it comes to the word of God, don't play with it. And what I said, don't twist my word and make it sound like it is something else. You see, this person has nothing better to know where to prove anything but the show. And the way he said it, he just showed how ignorant you are about the message of the hour. The message reveals the Bible. I know the message reveals the Bible. But in what way it reveals the Bible? Huh? In what way it reveals the Bible? You mean it reveals everything? That is a lie. That's why I was challenged when I was in Nigeria. I was challenged in Singapore by those from America, big guys. Well, many of these people are no more around. They have left the message. Wow, why? Because they are so cocksure that they know what the message is all about. They are not. They know next to nothing. All they know is the court of Brother Branham, and they think that by taking the court of Brother Branham, they have the victory over anyone who used the Bible. Oh, may God have mercy. You know why I'm furious? I have been. As Jeremiah would say, the word of God burns within me. I cannot hold my mouth. I'm responsible for my people. And you are my people. And those out there who follow my ministry. The message reveals the Bible. Without the message, you might as well go on preaching three gods. That kind of foolish assumption. The message is foretold in the Bible because Malachi 4, 5, and 6. I will send you Elijah, the prophet. Revelation 10, 7, Luke 17, 30. You don't believe the entire message, so why be a pretender? So, he quoting this, I guess this person doesn't know my ministry. don't know what the fivefold ministry is all about. And that's what I want to say this about this fivefold, this sufficiency of the Bible. The importance of understanding what God is doing. And remember I said this, Bob, and preach one message called Knowing the Day and His Message. You remember? Well, that was Bob and fifth. How many years ago? In the 50s, the 60s, it's gone. But Knowing the Day and His Message today, Brother Man was calling us back to the Word. That's the message. What is the message for us today? Be perfect. Huh? The Word, again, has already. This is the message for today. To bring us back here so that we understand. We get into the coupon of God's Word between Isaac and Rebekah. Nobody else is in the tent. Not even Eliza. Remember, I give you an illustration one time. You think about it. If Isaac and Rebekah were in the tent making love because they were married, and Rebekah said, you know, Eliza said, what do you think Isaac would be doing? Huh? You talk about, Isaac said, you're talking about my servant, my steward, Mr. Example, the best man. So, the bride is in love with the best man. You understand, you know, wedding, you have your bridesmaid with the bride, the groom with the best man, and the bride's looking at the best man. They're falling in love with the best man. I keep falling in love with him. Who is that? William Branham. William Branham, the prophet. I keep on falling with the prophet. What? Oh man. They've got a mercy. We have come to this place that the Bible really tells us, you know, the foolish virgin is going to be pushed out. They come to the wedding, the door is already closed. The door of the wedding is still open for them to come in. But when they finally got the oil, when they realized the true oil, you know, they went out to buy. Remember the foolish virgin? Remember the ten virgin? You know what the parable talks about in Matthew 25? Huh? The wise had the oil and the wedding. The foolish got just enough oil. You know, in the, I mean, whatever oil is that is in the lamp, or they think that they could make it in. Yeah, because why? The message, they heard the message. Come out to meet him. And then they came out, oh, they thought that they could meet the bridegroom and enter into the marriage. Huh? So by the time they came out and waited, the lamb almost gone out, asking the wise for oil. The wise said, no, I'm sorry, we cannot give you. We have enough just to make the journey that we know we'll make it. Oh, you're so selfish. You know how foolish people are. I thought, you're very selfish. You know, wise people here, they don't give you oil that is needed. You want oil? Seek the one that sells you oil. So the foolish don't have enough oil. They went out there to buy oil. Remember this? The oil merchant. Who are the oil merchant? They're the preacher. What kind of oil did you get? In the middle of the night, you go to the shop. Open up, merchant, I need oil. Open up, I need oil. And the oil merchant sell you about a peanut oil you want it. Oh, that's going to smell good. The only one kind of oil that is in that, in a vessel. Huh? And we don't want this nut kind of oil. And then they went up there to buy vegetable oil. They put it in, that doesn't smell good. It doesn't like properly. They can see, nope, it can't go in. Give my funny the right kind of oil. But remember, they got the right kind of oil, the marriage at this day is already over and the door is closed. They came in, they came, it's too late. Open up, open up. I never knew you. You know, I never trusted out into the outer darkness. That's right. That's so very true. Many people don't realize. You want to be wise? What makes you wise? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The reverence of the Lord in His Word, not to His servant. Huh? People reverence the servant of God, you know. You respect the servant, yes. But not reverence Him like He's God. Remember how Paul and Barnabas were wanted to be worshipped? But they went to Greece, or Athen, and then he said, no, we are not Jupiter, we are not all these Roman gods to you. Huh? And of course, After there were a few, you know, comments by others, I decided to put on another post. I post this not particularly to this person, no, because there were one or two others, they say very strange things like him as well. So I said this for your information. I'm not into debating with wise men so-called. They can call me pretender, liar, false teacher, etc. My advice to those who are very quick with words and are judgmental, be very careful with the words you would use against me or anyone whom you disagree with. You might just have to eat them someday. In my 50 years of ministry, I have seen a good number eat their own judgmental words even as they fell from the faith. If what I have posed is scripturally wrong, then I'm a fool. But if it is scripturally right, then someone's a fool. It's just that simple. Five simple questions. They are not for debate. Let your answer be yea, yea, or nay, nay to yourself, which will be convincing enough so that you do not stumble into hypocrisy. So keep your answer to yourself, as truth is not for debate. Is the Godhead in Yahshua, or is Yahshua in the Godhead? Now you also know the answer. Huh? Is Yahweh the same as Yahshua? Who is greater, the Father or the Son? Who is greater, the messenger of the covenant or the messenger? 5. Is all scripture Paul mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:16 in Branham's message or messages? My main thought, my subject main thought this morning is about this all sufficiency of scripture. You know, the people in the end time message, many of them like to say this common saying, which is not true. The word restored to the bride. The word restored to the bride. Actually, the word was not lost. I have said this before. Huh? Because somebody wrote a song to that effect thing about restoration of the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? The word of God has never been lost. It's always there. It's only in that denomination, the traditional churches, and messed them up and took away some stone and replaced it with some other kind of stone of their own. Remember the 12 foundation stone, the apostolic teaching? They just changed it. So the people were lost to it. Not that the word was lost, they were lost to the truth. Yeah, it's just that I was in the denomination. The word has always been there, but I was lost to it because I was feeding on tradition. Until God sent a message by the messenger to get me out of this darkness of feeding on traditional teaching and come back to the light of God's word. And so the moment that I came to the truth, I threw away all those traditional theological book out of my home and focus on it. And this become practically a completely new book. Things that I have never seen before. Because I was in traditional darkness, I can't see it. Because I was in darkness. But until the little light came, it showed a way to come back to this full light. Then this whole thing became a different, you know, view of looking at it. Now, if what Paul just said, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, then all these 66 books, I mean, Paul wrote here in Timothy, yeah, but what was he referring to? He said, all scripture is in breath of God. He is pointing to the Old Testament. He wasn't pointing to the New. Because he was just writing it. And he didn't know that he was writing scripture. Huh? But yet, amazingly, God has a way of putting things in such a way that you find that about, you know, anybody who takes the word of God or add to it, you find it in the beginning of the Bible, the center of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. Nobody should add to or take away anything that God has written or spoken, which became scripture, as this man of God sat down and God moved them and wrote them for our, for future generations, so to speak, for our use. So now, let me say this. Here we have this Bible for our foundation. There are 66 books. There are 66 books. We all know very well. And there are about 43 authors in this volume of 66 books. And it took about almost 2,000 years. And so now, just imagine, Genesis was written by Moses. The book of Revelation was written by John. Now all these 40 odd authors, many of them never meet each other, have never met each other. So how is it that the Bible is written in such a way? If it is, if these 66 books were written by men and not inspired by God, and it's certainly a very tremendous feat. Because many of them never met each other. And how did they have one theme in their mind? And that center theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one God, the word that He spoke, of Him being the Creator, the Savior, the Comforter, and everything that is centered around the one person that we know, and that is the Christ. Let us go to Psalms 40, verse 7. We are reading two scripture verses. Psalms 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. A Psalm of David, inspiration. Lo, I come. In the volume of book, it is written of me. Certainly, King David was not talking about himself. And that was, of course, inspiration, prophetically spoken of Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the word of God. And He died as a Savior for us. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 39. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scripture testified of me. Right? So the scripture is all about, you know, as I said, it's a sign that does not point to itself. As I say, if you look at the sign out there to New York City, 70 miles, you can stand there and look at the sign. You are not in New York City. You can admire it. The sign doesn't point to itself. It is not New York City there in the signpost. But the scripture, what does it point to? The very person who wrote the scripture is the very one who pointed the scripture to himself. Right? Here's the word. God is the Word. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Huh? You understand? God wrote it to point to Christ. Christ fulfilled it. Because he was that what was written about. Amen. You know, now I want to say this. This Bible has been around since way back, beginning from the day of Moses when he wrote it. And it's built up to 39 books, the book of Malachi, and it exists in the days of Jesus Christ. And then it continued to be written in the next 27 books, which become the New Testament, the New Covenant, about Christ and the ministry and the thing that God is doing now in those whom he had called out. Because God desired a family. Now, since you have this book, in this one volume, when it just started, after our Lord ascended to heaven, the apostle preached the gospel and it just started. So the question right now is this: who can interpret the Bible? Who can interpret the Bible? Now, that's been a question that's been kind of interesting about the debate. People are always debating, discussing. And being that we believers, we are in this end time. We have this message to bring us back to the Word. Now, I want to say this, I'm not in the message. Okay, in the message as the message is per se. Alright. But I'm in the message of the Bible. Because the message brought me to the message of the Bible. I'm not in the message as the message per se as to the quotes of Brother Branham. So let me say this. My concern is not about the denomination. My concern is with those who followed what we call the message of the hour. Now, when you ask the question, who can interpret the Bible? And many times you get, oh, Brother Bram is the only one who can interpret the Bible. And they will quote what the Old Testament scriptures say. The word of the Lord comes only to the prophet. The word of the Lord comes only to the prophet. The words of the Lord comes only to the prophet. Right? You all know that in the Old Testament, yeah? Correct. But you see, the problem is that if you just say like this, oh, Brother Abraham said so. I know Brother Abraham said so because he was a prophet and that's the way Brother Abraham speaks. And you know Brother Abraham was very uneducated. And many times he says something because he is in that dimension of what the gift that was given to him. And therefore he talks like that. You see, and that's all we have. John the Baptist was called Elijah. Why? Because he was behaving like Elijah. The same spirit, we have Elijah the same. So Barbara was in the spirit of Elijah, and that's the way he speak. They were called the Old Testament. But there was that time that he was said something that is right. You know, about a fivefold ministry. And there was a time that he said something that the denomination has even picked it up. You see, Abraham said here, there's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity, he believed in the Trinity. Oh yeah, you read it and see. That's what people need to understand about progressive revelation. Because the Word of God is always unfolding itself, more and more. Oh, Brother Abraham brought it all. Really? Let me tell you something, there are a lot of things the Brother Abraham did not know about the scripture when he died. Some people say, well, yeah, he knows. Really? That's why I was being challenged up there in Nigeria. Problem, all revelations are revealed, all mystery revealed. And he challenged me across the table. Because he wanted to destroy what I said. He said, when I come, I don't come to preach. Not again. What you preach this morning, I'm going to destroy. I said, oh, you come to convention to tell out somebody's message. Because he disagreed with me. So he believed Abraham's, all mysteries are revealed. I said, okay, if all mysteries are revealed, tell me, what did Brother Abraham really, you know, understand about the what do you call it, the mark of Cain? What was the mark that God put on Cain? Did Brother Abraham review that? If you remember, I can't remember what's the other one there. And his wife looked at him and looked at his wife and I was looking at him across the table. My wife was sitting next to him. And since the wife looked at him, he couldn't understand. His wife looked down on the plate of food that she was eating. And then he looked at me and he said, Ronnie, why all mysteries are revealed? He said, you know, all mysteries are revealed. You can't even answer my question. How foolish can that be? Huh? And that Boniface can say that I am a pretender. Can you answer the question? I don't think so. I don't think so. That many. One way. If you don't stand with the Word of God, you don't have an anchor. If you don't go into the trap of the rock, you don't have a fortress to protect you, to give you some sound understanding. And that's why we people have problems like this. Do you understand that? So, I'm not worried about the denomination, as I said. They have their own Christian dogmas. But I'm worried about people in anti-message. The denomination, they have their own system. We take, for example, the Presbyterian. The Presbyterian, do they believe in the fivefold ministry? No. The one I know of here is very big in Singapore. They believe only evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The apostles and the prophet, they say they are no more. Why are they no more? Because the Bible is complete. Huh? So they believe that the perfect, the Paul mentioned about, is the perfect scripture. It's complete. Perfect means to them is complete. So we don't need it anymore. So all the prophecy and the tongues and the gifts are done away with. That's why they don't believe in prophecy. And they don't believe even in casting of demons. You know. So you know that there's all this going on in the system of the denomination. That is their own. But in the end time message, who and what is God doing at this time as concerning the bride of Christ? How does he go about, you know, perfecting the saints? The thing is that is, what is God doing now concerning the bride? How is he getting the bride perfected? Alright, let's go to Ephesians now. I'll show you that and then go to Ephesians chapter 4 and then alright. Ephesians chapter 4 and then we have verse 11 onwards. Alright. So when Christ ascended to heaven, he filled all things, and then he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting. You understand that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make up the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. That we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with cleanliness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you understand this fivefold ministry. Now, there is a fivefold ministry, there is a threefold purpose, and a fourfold perfection. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of itself, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of Son of God, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature. Are we coming to that? You know, God is doing a work, but that we have people that have that message, you know, going this way, going that way. Wow. And that is just a mess. That is true. Well, this is not a... people are not getting the message. They are living the message. Huh? 40 years that I have in this ministry, started the little fellowship, started the church. With 7, and then with 10, some left, and then we have another 12. After a while, some left, and then more come in as the Lord leads. Not everybody says, I believe the message. I should believe. Because what we see, what I see back in 71, 72, and that church was so big, what happened to it now? It's no more. Why? Because there are false doctrine, false opinion. People start breaking up, and after breaking up again, you know, when they started their own group, what a mess. Some more people left. And what happened now? You see, a few staying at home. Just to listen to the tip of Brother Branham. Huh? Or some break away, they won't say, they won't listen to Brother Branham, okay? And they will just fellowship among themselves. Let me tell you this, brother and sister. Let me tell you this. God has placed a ministry in the body of Christ. And I want to say this. If you violate it, if you go against it, you are answerable for it. Don't think, God, I'm a Christian. Or not think because I'm ordained to eternal life. I'm predestined, therefore I have no worry. Don't open your mouth and say things you don't have any idea what you're saying. Don't think you know what you don't know, and you'll utter those foul, those foolish words. Just because you think you did the Bible, oh, God predestinated. Okay, so I'm predestinated, I believe in Christ, so I'm above of heaven no matter what. Because once saved, always saved. Huh? What did Jesus say? What the Father given to my hand, now will take it away, right? Right? But are you staying in his hand? If you stay in his hand, what does a hand contain? He gives unto man. If you were in his hand, and his hand you give fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. But yet you will not follow that. You have your own ideas. You consider yourself, say, I believe in the whole scripture. I believe in the sacred scripture. All scripture is sufficient for me. The prophet tells us to come back. But are you following the instruction? That's what the problem said. Many people said they follow. If you don't follow instruction, then you do not believe. And we have a lot of this brand of mine come to tell me that I'm pretending. I am following the instruction to come back to this word. Come back to the apostolic father's faith. Brother Abraham said that. You want to know that? I give you that quote. Check it. He came on home. Brother Abraham stood up quoting the Bible and he said, back to the word, back to the absolute. This is not what he said. Think. Because I'm dead serious about this whole thing. We are living in this end time now. With all this pandemic, with all the world, with all the global warming, anything can happen. And I'm looking into the future. How long am I going to live? If Christ will not come back within the next 10 years or so, probably I would have gone from here. And I'm just praying, say, Lord, I want to take my people with me. I don't want to go by myself and lie myself right there in the grave, because that's not my goal. And my health is getting bad because of that. You know, this flame that coming up and all this, you know, affliction. Why, you know, since I came to the ministry, when I start to travel, when I look back into his eye, I can write an autobiography how the devil wanted to destroy me. When I was a child, about not even a year old, my half-sister, the older one, my father's first wife, I think she was about 10 years old at that time, she carried me. We were having a shop out there in, you know where Cleany Road is, Orchard Road, that area, Cleany Road, we have a shop house. We were up there. And she was telling me, trying to go downstairs. She tripped. She fell. I fell all the way down from the first floor down to the ground floor. And the ground right at the bottom is a very solid concrete block of stone. My mom told me that I was crying like crazy. I don't know anything about it. Of course, because I was charged by that, I've gone. You know. That was how it happened. Then when I was, about 5, 6 years old, there were a lot of things that I did that was crazy. My mom told me that I've been very, well, you know, I don't know what you would call that. Not to play around and doing, huh? Naughty, yeah, I was naughty. And I get in trouble many times, you know. And then when I grow up and bring crazy thing up from, you know, where we have the clear road, decided, I can't remember the name of that road, where our Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew home was just up there on the hill, and it was a, and there was fence there, and it was stripped down. What road was that? Oxley, not Oxley. The one that is on facing the Green Road, Oxley. No. So, it was a slope down, and we were running bicycle, three-wheeler. And kids were piling on it, and I was swinging on that, you know. Man, oh man, a few times it was flung. We were almost flung off, and got really hurt bad. And I took this big China bicycle. I was just a kitten of 6, 7 years, I guess, going down the slope, you know, big bicycle, putting my foot through under the handle, under the bar, and just go down and very fast. Did all the crazy thing. And I go into school, I go into fight with people, and I did stunned almost that broke, you know, impacted my spinal cord, jumping from a high place down. Not even banging my foot, I just stand straight, pop, it goes right up. I couldn't talk because the impact went up to my throat. And then when I was, in secondary school, I was still having problems. Because I was very naughty. I already told you the story. Mischievous and all that. And then when I become serious with the word of God and things like that, and then when I went the first time when I went over to America, and that was just before I went on my missionary trip in 81. I was there in 79 and 80. You know, the time I was with Zoel and Zoe, and Zoel was 3 years old and Zoe was 1 year old. You know, I almost died twice within the 1 week. Almost died twice within the 1 week in California. One, I could have my nose smashed right in. But this big black guy who mocked me when we came back with the kids from Disneyland. Then since he grabbed my bag, we lost my passport. So we had to stay with somebody who was kind of a brother and sisters in Oakland. While I was in Oakland, I rode a horse. And the young sister, you know, wanted me to try riding a horse, asked me whether I love riding. I said, yes, I do. And asked me, do I know how to deal with horses? I said, yes, I do. It does it natural. Okay? In me, those are the only time I rode the horse. First time was in Royal Jackson's in 79. But she didn't let the mother know, but the mother, I came to know, the mother realized that she wanted to allow me to ride the horse, she would not allow it. You know, because horse, I'm not acquainted with strangers. But anyway, I got to know the horse, feeding with carrots and all this, and went up to the mountaintop, and I could see, whoa, very nice. To make a way around to come back, man, it was a mountain, we were on a mountain. The home was on the mountain, you know. And we went up higher, so we had to come down a little bit. And it was on the cliff, there was a cliff. So the horse has to bring the horse down on the cliff, the other part, on the side of the cliff. And you could see the cliff right there. That horse started to bolt. Oh my goodness. And I tried to put it, I realized one day, I cannot pull him back. He just already set his head straight, and he just ran, wanted to run home. Run down the cliff, and the next moment I saw in front of me was a tree on the road on the side of the cliff with the branch across my neck. What's up? The horse came right there and said, whoa! And then the only thing I could do was pull myself to the left, holding to the rein, and the tree branches and the leaf brushed against my ear and my side and scratches me. Then when past the tree, the cliff went up, the path went up. Slowly. As the horse kept running, and I know that I just let it run. So when I should climb up, then I pull on the rein and say, whoa, McGill, that's the name of the horse. Whoa! Then the horse slowed down. Now I had to pet him. And I went back, I didn't tell anybody. Because I know if I tell anybody, the sister will get in the hot soup. You know, if I don't know what to do, I would have been hang up on the tree like Absalom. And the horse would have gone back and said, where's Brother Gann? And would have died. Twice in that 1 week in California. Then I realized one thing. Because what God already called me back in 68 when he told me about my ministry, while I was still in the denomination. And I told you about it. But I realize that God has the ministry for me to do, and I have to do it. It's not popular. To make a stand for the truth. And I thought, when I came to the message, everybody were in the same faith. Everybody will, you know, have the same understanding. No, it's not. All I hear was Brother Branham said. I said, what happened to the scripture? And I almost was like them. Until God spoke to me. And my cram my heart out. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I was very quiet, the whole very moody after the incident with the young man who brought me up to the missionary fellowship. I was so shameful because I was quoting Brother Branham, and I know it was such a mistake because it never even come out anyway from my mouth. So I was wondering then if we all look, brother and sister, are we? And then in the book of Revelation, here Paul talks about getting the must be perfected by the fivefold ministry. In the book of Revelation, you know, right? What did the Bible say? The bride had made herself? Huh? Well, read it anyway, in case you don't know where to find it. Here in chapter 19, verse 7. Huh? Or verse 6, as I said, because there was a voice of a great multitude, there's a voice of many waters, there's a voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reign, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. The wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Are we getting ready? Are we getting ready? That is the thing. Are we getting ready? And if you look at the person in Ephesians, if you come to the unity of the faith, we are not. Huh? Are we in the unity of faith? Have people just left the church because they don't agree, they want to undermine the ministry? What happened? They have their own idea. And they were still home now, they're trying to, well, teach. And I heard from some, the teaching was very strange. Let me tell you, that's what Brother Branham said. I'm quoting Brother Branham now. Maybe a bit Branham. Okay. You know what Brother Branham said? This is a good advice. This is not about doctrine. This is good advice. You know what he said? He said, you find the best teacher that you can find and you stay with him. That's just a simple. You know. That's all I associate with minister that I know. And that time was Brother Jackson. At least you have something that is good right out there. I said, this is the man I could identify with, associate with. But unfortunately, there are others that have other ideas about him and push him, and that's why it can be very dangerous. You know. I said, you always respect God's servant, but never push the God's servant to be somebody. When people push Brother Branham to be somebody, he's the absolute, he's vindicated, and that's why people worship. You remember? Already we have discussed, I have ministered that with the photograph to you from Congo, how they worship Brother Branham, right? You have seen those pictures. It's still on my website. Worshipping Brother Branham. And even one man was struck dead. Huh? To challenge God. You see, putting Jesus down, lifting up Brother Branham. And my advice is always to you out there. If God has not called you, don't try to be a minister. There's one thing to share, but it's another thing to be a minister. Someone said to me, he said, but again, ooh, you know what the Bible said? You know, we have to witness. Yes, of course you have to witness. But you know the Bible said, the Paul said, how can he hear except a preacher be sent? You know that, don't you? Yes. But there's a verse that I want you to, I want you to turn to it and find it. Let me see if I can find it, I remember it. Goes to the book of Romans. I think it's the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14. Alright. I will close with this. So the question now, who can interpret the Bible? Is it the truth only that the word comes only to the prophet? There was an Old Testament. And I always say this, but many of them, no, you have heard me say this, but I want to reiterate, so that you will stay in your mind. You will not forget. Right? Now, the word of God comes from the prophet was in the Old Testament. And they are saying that only the prophet can interpret the Bible. Well, let me ask you the same, question. In the New Testament, when they just started, who was the first person to interpret the Bible on the day of Pentecost? Who was it? Who preached on the day of Pentecost? Peter. Was he a prophet? Or was he an apostle? Huh? And that's what Paul said. Firstly, apostle. And he gives our apostles and prophets. Now, people don't understand the difference between the Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet. Some people don't understand. And even though all prophets in the Old Testament are the same, there are prophets like Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they are men of that caliber. But there are also prophets. They are learning from these prophets. That means prophetic students learning from the prophets. You know what I mean? Disciples. Now, even after Jesus went up to heaven, they are also disciples of John. Disciples of Paul. You know what I mean? Because they were taught by this man. No, I don't need to be taught. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And that's what the denominators are saying. The Holy Spirit is in us, so you don't need any teacher. They use the Bible code and don't even understand what they're saying. And there are certain things the Bible, the Holy Spirit will teach you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Like what? Thou shalt not steal. How to conduct yourself. You should be taught, right? You don't have to be taught, isn't it? How to respect your parents, how to respect your elders. How to conduct yourself in the church. You don't need anybody to teach you. You see, Peter, the bearer of Pentecost, wasn't a prophet. But he interpreted scripture. Did he not interpret scripture? What scripture did he interpret? He interpreted the book of Joel. Huh? So, now I want to tell you this. And this Brahman doesn't know anything. The denomination lost over in the wood. Okay, what did Romans 10:14 say? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You see, I'm a preacher. I preach to people. You know, some people say, you know, did God call you to really be a preacher? What is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about here. How can they hear about the gospel unless a preacher be sent to preach the gospel? Right? And if you have heard the gospel, you believe, then you can share the gospel as a witness of the gospel. The Bible says that you are all witnesses. Right? Yeah. We are witnesses. But not all are preachers. Let's go to another place. 1 Timothy 2:7. Here is what Paul said. Paul is boasting. How many of you think that Paul is boasting? Yeah, I do. And here's what he said. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Wow. A preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. 2 Timothy 1:11. Now we are looking at this Bible here. You know, as Paul said in chapter 3:16, right? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, I'm giving you all the instruction. What Paul is saying about the scripture. For correction, if you have been astray, let us be corrected and come back. For reproof also. 2 Timothy 1:11. Chapter 1, verse 11. What unto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. See? Think about it. A preacher is one, we will say, in another, someone who proclaims. But he is an apostle and a teacher. Paul is not afraid to say that. Right? So now, as I close, let me say this. As I said, who has the right to interpret the Bible? You see, if your faithful ministry is there, so people say, like in time pass, the word of God coming into a prophet, who are you, brother, again? Are you vindicated? I said, what do you mean by vindication? Abraham was vindicated, God vindicated the halo, the light. I said, didn't you see my light? Can you see it? You want to see what? What do you want to see? Light all over my head? Isn't that ridiculous? What is vindication? They have no idea. They don't even know how to define vindication. Vindication is something that is, when a person is called to do, for example, a surgeon. If he's called to be a surgeon, he would, when a patient went in, and a patient came out dead, is it vindicated? When a patient went in the operation, and the patient came out, and his illness is made worse by the surgeon, is it vindicated? What makes a person a real surgeon is one who do his work well, and he did his work very nice, and people can verify, people can testify to it. What makes a good teacher? Look at a student in a school, in his class or her class. Simple as that. Vindication. What is the result of it? Yeah, you know, when God called me into this ministry, I was thinking, oh, kind of hard, you know, going to travel, this and that. But His ordinance is real. I remember back then when we were fellowship, I think what year was that, in the 80s, when we were in Timbuktu, in a white place. Well, we were having the fellowship there, and then we had a problem was that one of the brothers believed in a fourfold ministry. So he laughed. He believed in a fourfold ministry, he laughed. No need that when he laughed, he started calling up some brother and sister on the phone and try to convince them. You see, well, we have a problem. Then he asked me, but again, it was kind enough to call me up and say, Brother, now that I left the church with some of the brothers and sisters, would the tithes and offering be enough for your ministry? Hey, I said, Brother, look, you have chosen to leave and believe in a fourfold ministry. Please go in peace. You don't have to worry about me. If my ministry, if God did not call me, all right, and there's not enough tithes and offering for me and my family, simple. I go back to work as a nurse again. Start from the bottom up. Will not get the salary that I get. I will get it from the bottom up. Again, no problem. You see, when God called me, I know He calls. There's no second thought about it. So people ask me, Brigham, you think you can interpret the Bible? He said, no. Only the Holy Spirit can interpret the Bible. And He has given gifts unto me. And if He has called me to be a teacher and an apostle, I endeavor to do just that. And my ministry all this year, does it not produce any fruit? That's my vindication. If God had called me, He will not only supply many. He will make sure, even as the prophecy, remember that, that God has raised me, He says, I raised out in this ministry that be a blessing to people out there. And a brother in Philippines reminded me a few weeks ago, 2 or 3 months ago, I guess, said, Brother Dan, next year it will be a 50th anniversary of that prophecy fulfillment. God is good. Truth will always prevail. But when people start to be call themselves a preacher, and when he's teaching all the things that you shouldn't be listening to, you know what? You're going to brainwash him. Because hearing the word of God is truly, we are brainwashed by the word of God. As Paul said, be transformed by the renewal of the mind. And how can you be transformed? By what you hear, what you take in. That's just not what I want to take in is the word of God. What you should be is taking the word of the Lord. Because this is the word that is so corrupt. This is the word that is so confused, so chaotic, a mess. And we want to be walking like sinly man, filled with the righteousness of God and walk in the light of His calling. Amen. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for what you are to us, Father, Lord. First of all, you are our God, our Father in heaven, our Savior, our Comforter, the supplier of all our needs, our great physician, everything, Lord. As the song we sing, He is my everything. You are our everything, Father. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for that word, most of all, Father, because it is a light unto our pathway. It is a light, Father, in this world of darkness. And it is the light, Father, Lord, that transforms our being, Lord. How that we walk in you. So I ask the Lord you bless the rest of the name now, Father. And let the word of the Lord always, O Father, be brought to our memory. And that we constantly, O Lord, know what who we are and who we are and what we should be doing, Father, according to thy plan and thy purpose, O Lord, for this hour. So Lord, we thank you. Bless now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.